Welcome everyone to the Goddess Vibration Podcast. This is Allie.
And this is Tiara.
We have a very special discussion in store for you guys today, and I need to start this episode with a trigger warning. This is going to trigger a lot of people.
We're sorry in advance, but we promise it'll be a great conversation.
So what we're going to trigger you guys on today is we want to talk about twin flames and all the distortion around it, because Tiara and I both feel as if New Age is out of control. And New Age is out of control on many, many different categories and beliefs. But we're not going to get into all of that today. We want to talk about twin flames and the twin flame journey. You know, I'm just going to be honest with you. In season one, we did a channeling session and we actually talked about the twin flame journey. And because Tiara is a split soul, which, yes, is different from a twin flame, because she is a split soul, Tiara has a better grasp and understanding about what a twin flame is. Because we asked an authentic twin flame in channeling, her name is Shakti, and her twin flame is Shiva. And she was trying to explain like what a twin flame was. And I was just sitting there like a deer in the headlights, so confused. And I was trying to understand it and wrap my head around it. And I was just like, I don't know how many different ways you can try to explain it to me. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And it's kind of funny because I have a pretty good understanding of things and I know how it's being presented to the public. I know how it's being presented by all these spiritual teachers or these relationship specialists, or, you know, I don't want to be disrespectful to their art, but Tiara and I, we're not all about debunking. We're about truth telling. And this is from our perspectives. Everyone has the twin flame journey wrong. Hence the trigger warning. But I do feel it's important to talk about because it is so rare. The twin flame journey is so rare that I can't even begin to explain how rare it is. And unfortunately, among the masses, there's all these people out there saying, I'm a twin flame. And not only do people believe that they are a twin flame, but people believe that once I find my twin flame, we have to make it work at all costs. So there's all these distortions and beliefs around the twin flame journey about, you know, what if your twin flame is a toxic human being? And you're just like, well, that's my twin flame. And you stay in a toxic relationship because you have this distorted belief of, well, that's my twin flame. That's my forever person. I have to make it work at all costs, even if it's toxic. You're ignoring all the red flags. And I am of the belief, and I'm sure Tiara is too, we are of the belief that it shouldn't be that way. And we want to give you guys different options, and we want to let you know that there are other soul connections out there outside of the twin flame journey.
So Allie is absolutely right that for whatever reason in the New Age community, the twin flame concept has just taken root and it's exploded, and there's so much distortion and misinformation and disinformation, and most of it is just sending people in the wrong direction. And I don't even know why this is happening, and you know, I have my thoughts and theories on why, but it's such a disservice to people who are on this path and are trying to make sense of some of these divine connections that they're experiencing, because As a split soul, yeah, I do understand the concept. It is one that the angelic beings have actually told us, me and Allie both, that it's a concept that's very difficult for most people to wrap their head around, because it doesn't exist within the confines of black and white thinking. And we did another episode on black and white thinking, so it blows that apart, because at its core, it's essentially someone who is an individual, but also an aspect of another person. It's both, because we know that something can be both, right? Now, again, to most people, a lot of us exist within that black and white thinking. So the concept that someone can be separate but whole blows people's brains apart. Like, it just, it does. But essentially, that's what it is at its core. And it is so remarkably rare that I think a lot of people, first of all, can't grasp it, but also a lot of people like romanticize it. And it ends up becoming this thing that everyone wants to have and something that everyone wants to experience and aspire to. You know, rare things, they seem to carry more value, kind of like diamonds. Diamonds are rare and they have value because they are rare. And therefore, a lot of people cherish diamonds. And so I'm wondering if we're seeing a similar thing happening with this whole twin flame concept, that it's so rare, that it must be this remarkable thing that, you know, anyone should want and should have and should strive for. And that's just such a huge disservice and distortion. So, you know, I'm glad we're talking about this. We didn't want to trigger people. I'm on a couple Reddit forums or subreddits, whatever you want to call them. And there is one that's a twin flame one. And I remember going in there, I was just kind of curious to see some of the things people were talking about. And a lot of the conversation was just like, I'm in this dynamic. How do I navigate it? Is this my twin flame? How do I know? Like, what is this about? Like, and a lot of people were also complaining about their counterparts. And, you know, that was the majority of the conversations. So I thought back to the channeling session that Allie was talking about and what we learned about twin flames and how rare it is. So I went into this subreddit knowing I was probably going to get banned. Like, I knew that. I knew that there was going to be pushback on it, but I did it anyway. So I went in there and I was just like, someone actually posted something very insightful. And it was very similar to what we're saying now, that the twin flame dynamic has become a distortion, because it has. And it was a very insightful post. So I went in there and I was just like, you know what? You are absolutely right. It has become such a distortion. As a matter of fact, some of the channelings I have seen from twin flame pairs that I know are authentic twin flame god beings claim that it's so rare that only about a handful of individuals on this planet are authentic and true twin flames. And then I went on to explain what it actually is and some of the channelings that talk about how it's essentially wholeness, but also separateness, and recognizing and embracing that duality. And I think about a day later, I had been banned, and I didn't have a reason for the banning. And I got the impression that the moderators didn't know what to do with me. So like, I got like three messages, and one was like, you've been permabanned. And then another one was like, well, you've been banned permanently. And then another one was like, okay, well, you can't comment in this group for 30 days because you said some stuff that was distorted and you said some other BS, and don't contact the moderators. And I was just like, wow, here I am trying to spread some of the truth that we channeled. I mean, I guess obviously whether or not it's truth is up for debate, but to us it resonated. So here I am just trying to share that information, and it just was not received very well. And it's unfortunate that such a concept is so triggering to people, because it doesn't need to be. And we don't really want to trigger people like that. We just want to share some of the information we've received because we find value in it. So I hope that going into this conversation, we can at least recognize that there's value in some of this, some of the stuff that we're talking about, because ultimately we just want to help the masses. That's really it.
We are a triggering podcast, but we don't purposely mean to be. I just need to point that out right now. And we are triggering because we do go against the grain, but there's a reason why we go against the grain. We don't do it because we're trying to be assholes about it. I mean, to be frank and to be direct, we don't do it because we're trying to, you know, belittle or be mean. We're just trying to be honest because there isn't enough people out there talking about what true spirituality is all about, and that these connections that we make with people, there's implications that come with them, and no one else is talking about this kind of stuff. And it is important to have these open discussions, because Tiara and I were doing some tarot the other night, and I wanted to ask the question on why do so many people quit or abandon spirituality? And what tarot insinuated or alluded to was a lot of people quit because a lot of people don't really understand. Like, they don't understand what spirituality is. They don't understand the journey. They don't either know what it takes, or sadly, they don't have what it takes, meaning they don't believe that they have what it takes, because no one's going to force you to quit. Quitting is your own decision. It's your own, you're going to do it out of your own volition. So no one's going to force you to quit. And I have noticed that people do abandon the spiritual journey, and I wanted to know why. And so we asked tarot, and that's what came through. And I believe that to be true, that there is a lot of confusion out there around the spiritual journey. And unfortunately, New Age has become so deeply saturated in love and light, positivity, affirmations, manifestation, abundance, crystals, divination, that there isn't enough people talking about, you know, the shadowy aspects or duality or discernment that you need in this journey, because unfortunately there's a lot of deception out there. And a lot of people are also not talking about the ego and how the ego distorts messages and how the ego will hinder us. And there is all of these other things that, yeah, I see some people talking about it, but not enough people talking about it. And so that's why, in order for us to be who we are in terms of just being as honest and authentic as possible, that's why we go against the grain. And this is why we can be, depending on who you are and who our listeners are, we can be a very triggering podcast.
So I want to be clear here. There's a good chance that you were not a twin flame. There's just a good chance, just based on what we know. Again, take what resonates. But that does not mean that there's anything wrong with that. And that does not mean that you don't have a valuable divine counterpart connection that operates similarly. Because at the end of the day, these connections are meant to be mirrors, and they're meant to teach us something. And that's the only thing that really matters. So I get a little confused that we get caught up in these labels, because what does the label matter? Like, what does it matter if it's a twin flame connection versus a false twin flame connection versus a karmic connection versus a soulmate connection? At the end of the day, it's a mirror connection meant to teach you something about yourself so that you can learn and evolve. Like, that's really all it is. So I really want us to get away from the labels when it comes to some of these connections and see that there's value in all of them. And that there's especially value in soulmate connections too, because soulmates are just as valuable and they're just as beautiful and they can be just as transformative. So I hate seeing people that like disregard like what they call karmic connections or karmic soulmate connections or even soulmate connections in general, because it's like not a twin flame connection or therefore not as valuable or not as special. And all of that's just ego. It's all ego-like distortion. Like, we should really be exploring the beauty in all of these divine counterpart connections, because they all serve us in some type of way.
Yeah, I'm really not sure why so many people get stuck on the label piece. And you are right. I love how you mentioned that, because I do feel that a lot of people attach to the label for egoic purposes, and for egoic purposes only, because a lot of people operate from the ego. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of people know.
Right. And I do blame a certain celebrity for certain saying certain things about certain connections.
Okay, that's really vague.
That I think also... Should I name
I you? Have named that name in a previous episode.
Oh, okay. So I do blame celebrity culture and individuals like Megan Fox for coming forth and saying things about twin flame connections and being in a twin flame connection, kind of adding to a little bit of the distortion around it. And even the way she described it, which wasn't necessarily false, but it wasn't also the full truth behind that particular connection. So it's just, you know, we really need to be careful about the things we see and hear in pop culture and on the internet around some of this stuff, and take it with a grain of salt, because I think that would serve many of us when it comes to navigating this journey. And, you know, I know it's easy to see some of these things and be like, oh, well, you know, she's a celebrity and she's got influence and she must know what she's talking about. But, you know, we're sitting here talking about all these teachers and new age spiritualists and guides and coaches that are essentially regurgitating distorted information. So, you know, I it's really, really important that we have more discernment when it comes to some of this stuff and only take what resonates and try to shift our perspective a little bit, because again, in other connections, they're just as valuable and just as beautiful. And I know I've got a couple soulmate connections that, like, maybe weren't the most pleasant, and maybe, like, there was some hurt that existed within those connections, but I also learned a lot about myself from those connections. And so to me, even though I'm a split soul and I do have that connection as well, I do see and find value in some of these other connections too, because they're all teaching me something. It's just, like, I suppose when it comes to the energetic octave or whatever you want to call it of the connections, like, that they're different, but so what? Like, you know, me and my twin soul, we're not in contact. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't value and acknowledge the connection, because I do, and I do hold space for him, but I'm not, like, trying to force that connection, and I'm not pursuing it, and I'm not pressuring it. It's just something that's there. I recognize it's there. I recognize that it's got incredible potential and that it's beautiful. But I also cherish and value these soulmate connections too, because, like, again, to me, they all serve something for me, and they all serve something for the masculine as well.
They absolutely do. And Tiara, you had mentioned something earlier that I know is something that you want to talk about, because Tiara and I do want to go deeper into other types of connections. But before we do that, Tiara had mentioned false twin flame, and I know that she has some words around that, so I'm going to let her speak.
First of all, I do think that some of the new age teachings around the twin flame concept have been distorted heavily by twin flame universe. Now, I'm not here to bash twin flame universe. Like, obviously it's serving some type of purpose for some people, which is great, like, to each their own. But the labeling aspect of it, I think a lot of it stems from them, particularly this whole false twin flame concept. Because at the end of the day, that term is such, It's got a negative connotation because it implies that if it's not a twin flame connection, then there's something negative about it, or that there's something wrong with it, like false twin flame. Like, what does that communicate? And that's where I have issue a little bit, because again, we're here trying to share and demonstrate how these other connections, these soulmate connections, are just as valuable. And then you've got this side of the sphere saying things like false twin flame, and like, if it's a false twin flame connection, then therefore it is not worthy of your time, therefore it should be discarded. And I'm just like, why do we need to do that with a counterpart connection? I mean, obviously, if you're connected to someone and you feel something deeply, there's a reason for that. And I'm just not fully understanding why that should be discarded.
I mean, wouldn't that go back to what we were saying before? People just put a title for egoic purposes. I mean, that, yeah.
I think it does. I think it does. And, you know, soulmate connections, when we did our channeling from Shakti and Shiva, they actually did extol the value of soulmate connections, because they also even shared that they serve a purpose, and that ultimately they serve the purpose of helping us learn lessons. Because as we've learned on this journey, one of the best ways that a human being can learn about themselves is through intimate and romantic connections and relationships. And when you incarnate on this planet, you do make these soul agreements with these other souls to serve specific roles to help you. So none of them, at least in my opinion, like, I don't think any of these other connections should be discarded at all for any reason. I just personally don't think so. I think that we should see the value and beauty in all of them. You know, I'm of the belief that my marriage was a soulmate connection, and it felt very strongly. It was a very strong and beautiful connection initially. And oftentimes when you go into a soulmate connection, that's how it feels. Like, it feels very strong. You feel a pull to this person. You don't quite know why. There might be a lot of chemistry. There might just be like that initial spark and fire between you two. And oftentimes you just don't know why. It just kind of grabs you and pulls you into the connection. And essentially that's what it was like. Now, when I compare that to my twin soul connection, yeah, it wasn't the same. It wasn't the same. And I do think that people recognize that sometimes, because different connections do feel different. So you might have a connection that feels more strongly or more powerfully impactful than another connection. So I recognize that that does happen. But at the end of the day, that doesn't mean that one connection is more valuable or important or significant than the other. It's just like, amongst all of them, there are different lessons. And, you know, in another episode, I do talk about some of the things I experienced in that connection and some of the things I was pushed to reflect upon and look at, particularly around things like control and power and attachment styles and being placed on a pedestal. And like, those type of concepts did come up in that connection. And those were powerful lessons for me. Very, very powerful lessons. And while we didn't last, I do look back at that connection with fondness, because not only did we have a pretty strong connection, but like, at the end of the day, we were friends and we did have something there outside of just the relationship itself. And I'll always remember that, and I'll always cherish that. So that's what I mean when I say, you know, these other connections are beautiful and impactful in their own different ways. I just think that it's really important that we sort of shift our perspective a little bit and try to find that value. Because even if it doesn't end well or it didn't end well, you can at least appreciate, hey, there was something to this that I learned and took about myself, and respect and value that.
So I know that we're talking about soulmates in terms of romantic connection here, and I don't want to steer away from that, but I do want to also highlight while we're here that soulmate connections can be in many facets of your life. There could be obviously romantic, which we're going to talk about today, but there's also platonic soulmates and karmic soulmates. There could be like a student teacher, soulmate, connection. There are all these different types of soulmates. And a soulmate is just a person that you feel this very deep and natural connection with. And I would say that there's just mutual understanding. Like, do any of you have those people in your life that words don't need to be spoken, but there's that basic understanding? And because you guys understand each other, words actually don't need to be spoken. And those are very deep, beautiful, intimate relationships that can go across any of the previous type of soulmate connections that I had just mentioned. Now, going back to romantic connections, Tiara is right. Like, even though we know that her now ex-husband is not a twin flame connection, we know that it was a soulmate connection and there was very important lessons there. Now, I would say my most significant relationship, which I have talked about before, is a very, very deep soul connection. We were not twin flames. However, not to complicate things, but I didn't know this at the time either, but we are soul family. And so he is one of my divine masculines. And so, but that explained our deep connections that have absolutely nothing to do with twin flames, which is why I'm talking about it. So him and I had a very deep, deep soul connection, but that's also because we were soul family. But again, I didn't know that at the time. And right now, like someone else that I have met, I would say that I know for a fact that he's not soul family, but I do feel very connected to him. And I was telling Tiara before we even did this recording, I think this person and I are soulmates. And Tiara's replied, that makes a lot of sense. And so there are all these other connections. And it's just people, when people hear the titles of some of these connections, they get triggered. I don't know why, especially karmic relationships. People do not like that word. And I understand why. But again, that black and white thinking and the ego, you know what I'm saying? If you go back and listen to the episode about black and white thinking and the ego is just like karmic. Well, you know, you shouldn't say that. It shouldn't be a thing. It is a thing, you guys. Like, the ego hears what we want to hear. And people, everyone wants to hear, oh, you have a twin flame and this is your forever person. But if you actually go dive deep into twin flames, and I have seen more teachers coming out and talking about how toxic and distorted the twin flame connection really is, because people think that it's like my forever person. It's the love and light. It's the, we're going to be together and it's going to be blissful and it's going to be perfect. Nothing's perfect, you guys. Nothing. And people hang on to these toxic relationships. If you think that that person's your twin flame, and if there's toxicity in your relationship, people will stay in that relationship because they're just like, well, this is my forever person and I have to make it work because he's my twin flame. No, if it's toxic, you have to recognize that it's toxic. I don't care about the label. Let's remove the label. People are people at the end of the day, and everyone carries a frequency. Everyone has a vibration. And if you don't mesh, regardless of the title, you shouldn't allow toxicity into your life because with the ego distortion around labels.
You know, what's really interesting about that is, so with my twin soul, like, we were supposed to, you know, come together in union. Now, that doesn't mean that between that connection, that there were not a lot of issues there, because there were. And I wonder if part of the distortion is that people sort of just have in their mind that a twin flame connection is like what you said, like that it's perfect somehow, or that it's like not subject to the same difficulties or issues of these other connections, but that couldn't be further from the truth. Like, And again, I'm talking about like an authentic twin soul connection. Like we're essentially the exact same person in two bodies. It's like blows my freaking mind. And when we were so connected, we kind of recognized that, and it blew our minds too, because we also had a lot of parallels between our lives. And when I say that, I just mean like I would do something in my physical that he would also.
They were basically the same person. Not to talk over you, but they were basically the same person, because I had actually like met him through video chat a couple times, and I was like, oh my god, they're the same human being. This is wild.
Literally the right. And it's freaking wild. But there was still a lot of toxic stuff between us. Like we both had wounding and trauma from this lifetime and prior lifetimes, and we hadn't worked through it. And so it would like bring surface within our own connection, and it just kind of ended up like being more destructive than, you know, I would have liked, but unfortunately that's just the way it went. And so like even if it is a twin soul or a twin flame connection, that doesn't mean that there's not going to be issues there, and you might never come together in this lifetime. And I will admit that a part of me did want us to come together and did like push for that in a way I probably shouldn't have and overstepped my bounds, and that's my fault and I take responsibility for that. But I did at least recognize, hey, he wants no part of this. I need to honor and respect that and step away and let him go and do what he wants to do. And, you know, initially, like, it was pretty easy to do that just because, you know, he wasn't talking to me. So, like, I was like, oh, okay. But as I've, like, kind of done a deeper reflection, like, yeah, there's a big part of me that does miss our connection and that misses him deeply. But I just kind of recognize that if it's meant to be, then we'll come back together. And at this point, I just kind of have had to sit back and just reach acceptance with it and move on. And while it's taken some time for me to get to that place, it's 100% doable, you guys. It's 100% possible. You know, I see struggles from people in some of these dynamics, these divine counterpart dynamics, whether they're twin flame or not, that struggle with the idea that they're not together, or that struggle with the idea that their counterpart is ignoring them or is married to someone else or is with someone else. And that doesn't do anything but cause suffering. So, you know, my advice would be to really reflect on why it's bothering you so much that this person has the audacity to step away or go be with someone else. Like, it's not necessarily a reflection on you, but it could be worth looking to see if there's something that you're carrying within yourself that makes you feel like you need to pursue or force a connection. And I had to do that. Like, I had to spend a lot of time doing that. And for me, a lot of it came down to control issues and like wanting to force outcomes. Like, can't do that. Control, it doesn't exist. You can't force outcomes on this journey. It's just going to make you go insane. So I had no choice but to accept. And again, you know, it does take time to get to that place, but you can do it. And it, you can absolutely do it. And you'll feel a lot better when you're able to get to that place.
You will. And I would say that's actually one of the teachings I had to really bring to Tiara's attention, is because that's part of the whole control, like controlling your environment, controlling other people. We don't have control over other people. If people choose differently, that is completely out of our control. And it's really hard because it's like, you know, you feel the connection and you may want something with that person. But if that's not being reciprocated, there is nothing you can do. Now, does it feel shitty? Yes, absolutely. But, you know, rejection, unfortunately, is just a part of life. And when we're rejected, it's what we do moving forward that really kind of defines us, right? Because we can either take the value judgment, we can get depressed. I'm not saying don't feel, you should feel it, because some people just suppress it, suppress everything. And they're just, you know, they just go about their day. And suppressing is very dangerous, because eventually that's going to come back, either in the form of mental illness or physical illness, or in some way it's going to come back up. And, you know, I suppress many of my feelings, romantic, non-romantic. And that's kind of how I functioned before I was really able to dive deep into my healing. I just suppressed stuff just because that was the only way I knew how to function. And I feel like that's a lot of people these days. And I'm telling you, when, you know, going back to another story about my mom, when I was just running away from all my problems, I was just thinking, new starts, new state, no one knows me. Like, I can start over. I still had problems in life because I was suppressing so much stuff. And stuff kept resurfacing. And it, honestly, it's like, when we suppress things and when we don't process things, they start to show up in ourselves. And then we project onto the other person. And we, so actually, I do want to talk about this in a separate episode. Projection and mirroring. I think those are two really important things when it comes to relationships. But going back to my other train of thought is that when we suppress all those feelings, and once they start to surface in different ways, whether it's in our behavior or whether, you know, trauma starts to resurface and we start projecting it on the other person, especially if we're trying to build a relationship with another person, those things are going to seep into the relationship and ultimately affect the relationship. And unfortunately, a lot of times those relationships fail. And it's so, so unfortunate, because it's like we're letting our own insecurities and we're letting our own trauma self-sabotage us into relationships before we even know what could become of those relationships. And that's really kind of the danger of really suppressing things. But on top of that, it's like there's many layers. We suppress things, and then if we are operating from our ego, and then if we have control issues, I mean, if you look at those three layers alone, it is a complete and utter, like, it's a setup for complete and utter disaster.
Oh, it absolutely is. And, you know, I'm convinced that when it comes to some of these divine counterpart connections, if you're feeling like you need to make it work at all costs, like, you might want to ask yourself, hey, is this coming from a place of control? Is this coming from a place of fear? Is this, do I have perfectionist tendencies? Like, those things come up sometimes when you're in these connections, and they're supposed to. Like, that's the entire point of the connection, is for you to see things about yourself and then analyze that. But instead, for whatever reason, you get so caught up in the romantic aspect of it and the Disney scenarios, and, you know, we want the love and the babies and, like, all of that stuff. And I'm just like, there's so much more to these connections than romance. And, you know, Ali mentioned something earlier about when it comes to some of these connections and soulmate connections in particular, how they might not even be romantic. Like, you could be soulmates with your friend or a pet or, you know, a sibling. Like, those aren't romantic. So I do think a big component of this obsession with the twin flames is that I think it's been overly romanticized and made to be this intimate thing only. And, like, that's what we focus on. But that's just a distraction. And obviously, I think also a distortion of the ego, you know? So I'm really hoping that from some of this conversation that, like, we can really sort of step back and look at the bigger picture of these connections, because I think that that will be so helpful and valuable for some of the people who are struggling in these connections and are seeking a specific outcome. That, you know, if you're specifically seeking an outcome from the connection and it's not manifesting well, maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe you should look at why you're seeking such an outcome in the first place. So just like little things like that.
I also kind of want to point out something that I don't think is also talked about enough. And I mean, I have seen spiritual teachers talk about this thing called divine timing. Yes, it's a real thing, but I want to add an extra layer to divine timing to trusting the process. And I would say trusting the process is literally the hardest part, especially when ego is involved. I mean, I went through this. My spirit team put me through the ringer when it came to trusting this process, especially around money, scarcity mindset, and around relationships, because there are other members of my soul family. So I do have other divine masculines in my soul family. And, you know, I hope one day I meet them. It's not guaranteed. It's probably going to be harder to meet them. I know of them. But because they just so happen to be celebrities, I'm just like, I don't know how that's going to happen. And they're just like, you need to trust the process. And you need to like understand that divine timing really is a thing. But they have also highlighted, if you do not put action, if there's no movement in your actions, how do you expect to meet them? Like, they're not just going to show up on your doorstep, because I don't leave my house very much. I'm very much an introvert. I'm very much a hermit. I am working on becoming better at that. But, you know, I'm an introvert. I like to protect my energy. I'm also an empath. And so it's hard to function in being an empath in today's world. And so, you know, my team will be like, you know, they're just not going to come up and knock on your door and find you. And I feel like that's relevant, not specifically talking about my soul family and these connections, but I do feel like that's relevant for a lot of women and people who want relationships, who want these types of connections, who want their twin flame or their soulmate or whatever label you want to put with it. And there's value in, you're not going to meet them if you don't ever leave your house. Because unfortunately, a lot of people have moved into this, go into my bubble, don't want to leave the house, bed rotting. Unfortunately, it's just kind of the new way of the world. I mean, it's also expensive. I'm acknowledging it's expensive to leave the house. And, you know, it's like leaving the house means like you're going to be spending money in some way, shape or form. And I know money is an issue with a lot of people nowadays. So it's just, you know, it's like people want to be socializing. People want to be connecting, but it's hard when everything costs money. And so it's not just one thing. It's like the whole grand design of it all that makes it hard to function in today's world, like with paycheck to paycheck, scarcity mindset, the economy, inflation. Like, I know I see the whole picture and I'm not discrediting any of that, but it is important that we do what we can within the confines of what we have to be putting ourselves out there as much as possible. And I think a lot of people have forgotten that, or they don't have the self-awareness around it, or they don't acknowledge that. But, you know, my team is right. It's just, in order to present opportunities, you have to be willing to go outside of your bubble and you have to trust the process. And I do believe that divine timing is a real thing, because a perfect example, my last relationship, I was going through a really, really hard time. There was a lot of stuff going on in my family, and I had met him probably, I don't know, I would say, I probably met him like a few months after a lot of things went down with my family. I don't really want to go into detail about that, but I had met him like a few months after that. And it's really ironic because, I mean, this is like my 3D family And like I said, I didn't know this at the time, but he was my soul family. And it's like the universe just brought me a member of my soul family when I needed him most. And that was a really beautiful relationship for me. There was a lot of trials and tribulations. It wasn't perfect, and I'm not claiming it was perfect. It wasn't, but I really grew in that relationship. And he was exactly what I needed when I had met him. And I even told him that. I was just like, I don't know how, but the universe like blessed me with this human being when I needed it most. And that is, for me, a perfect example of divine timing.
Oh, that's a beautiful example. And that happens to me when I initially met my twin soul. And it's really interesting because some of these deep connections, especially if it's members of your own soul family, which can feel very strongly, like the soul family connections, I'm convinced that the soul family connections are what a lot of people are mistaking for twin flame. But like, yeah, no, it happened just like that with me and Sean. And for whatever reason, it seems to happen when you're on at the end of another relationship, or like when another relationship has just ended, is when a lot of, at least in my experience, some of these contracts initiate. And when we first met online, we were Xbox buddies. He was at the end of a relationship. And I think he just kind of needed someone to talk to, like someone else to just vibe and connect with at that time. Because I know that that was a tumultuous time for him. And for me, I was just so distracted and busy with like different things. Like I was barely thinking about relationships at the time. But I do think it was something that he needed at that time. And he did take a lot of value from that and cherished that time that we had connected. I did too. But I think that he absolutely needed that and needed to make that connection, that deeper bond and connection with someone at that time. And even when, before we stopped connecting, he brought up like how impactful that was at that time for him. So absolutely, that's absolutely a thing. And you know, again, like the universe brings us what we need and divine timing.
Yeah. And so all these people who are just trying to force outcomes and, you know, actually spending all this money, I mean, I'm not here to tell you what to do with your money. I'm just saying like it's just sad to see people be so desperate, is the word I'm going to use. So I apologize if I trigger you. I'm not trying to trigger you, but I feel like there's a desperation around, I have to find my twin flame. And I'm telling you, first of all, A, you may have already met that person. B, you may have already like been in a relationship with that person. And I do think Tiara is right. I think that a lot of people mistake twin flame connections as a different type of soulmate connection, like soul family. And I would say that's a very common one, because I know for a fact that I am not a twin flame. I have channeled it. I have validated it through like three different types of divination, because that's how I was when I first started this journey. I did not believe anything. I was so cautious. I was like, yeah, that doesn't sound right. Validate, validate, validate. And even to the point where I was like getting yelled at. So I know that I'm not a twin flame, but I have these really deep connections with these people. And again, my last relationship, I didn't know that he was soul family at the time. I found that out after we broke up. But once I found out, I was like, that explains the deep, deep connection. Like there was just this deep connection there that I could never pinpoint or know what the hell it was. But it's a perfect example to go to show that these connections may not be a twin flame. And so don't also have missed opportunities with other types of soul connections because you have this distorted belief of, I have to find my twin flame, because you could potentially be missing out on so many other connections and so many, you know, so many lessons and so many opportunities to grow and learn.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, and here's the crazy thing. Tiara's met other members of her soul family. It was a female. Yeah.
I did. Oh gosh. Back in like, that was probably 2019, 2020. You know, it was an interesting experience because we were at the same channeling class. It was a course to learn how to channel. And they sort of made us pair off. And I remember, actually, I take it back. It was a mediumship course. And I remember challenging the instructor a little bit just because some of the things she was saying like weren't filling in on all the gaps. And so she was talking about the different clairs, so like clairvoyance, claircognizance. And I was trying to understand, okay, well, what is the clair that you experience when you feel something? Because I've had experiences where I've like intuited something, but I've actually physically felt the sensation. Like, for example, someone grabbing my arm or grabbing my hands or grabbing my neck, and like recognizing that I was like channeling information from like a prior life, for example. And so I was, I had mentioned that, and she kind of blew me off and was just like, well, you know, that's not what we're talking about, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, well, I know it's a thing. And then someone sitting next to me was like, yeah, I recognize that, Claire. That is a thing. And then we ended up being paired off and we went and did like a joint channeling. And the information that we channeled was that we were soul family. And I just remember sitting there and just saying like, wait, what? Like, what? And some guide had said in the channeling session that this is your soul family. Your soul family is here. And it was kind of like this immediate recognition because we did feel a bond and a connection. And it was a beautiful one. Like, we could have probably ended up being like the closest of friends if we really had both wanted that. And so, you know, we stayed in touch for a little bit before falling out of touch. But like, yeah, and it was just as beautiful and impactful as any of the other connections I've experienced. And I still to this day cherish that.
Which is exactly why I brought it up. I hope that's okay.
No, absolutely. I had actually forgotten all about that whole encounter.
So soul connections happen in all forms. And it's like, it doesn't always have to be romantic. And there's so much to learn. And you want to know what? Like, Tiara also has celebrities in her soul family. And it's not like we're actively seeking out these celebrities. It's just, I mean, if we meet them, it will totally make sense to us as to why.
Absolutely. You know, that's just because we happen to be fortunate enough to have that information. But yeah, and I kind of expect that if any of that were to happen, for example, if I were to run into a member of my soul family that happens to be a male, that will probably feel a deep connection. Like, that's just kind of how it is.
You know, mm-hmm. I've met two members yeah. of my soul family. My soul family is actually pretty small, but I've met two members of my soul family, and they were both males, and I have not felt a connection like that with any other person. And so it makes sense.
Okay, let me think back. I have met 4 members of my soul family. I guess one of them, like, so my twin soul is also a member of the soul family. We have actually never met in the physical. We've only ever interacted online.
Okay, how many have you met in the physical? 2? You've met 2 in the physical, right?
Her.
Yeah.
I do count.
Oh, okay. And then the other one. Got it. Okay. So you've met 3 in the physical, and then you and Sean are basically the same person.
Right. And I kind of count Sean. Like, I mean, technically, yes. Technically, I don't know. It's kind of weird. Yes and no, I've met that one.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So it's, yeah, exactly. It's not crazy. And so I do think that that's important to highlight. Like, if you are part of a soul family, because not every soul is, but if you are part of a soul family, these connections that you feel with people, like whether it's like female, male, friendship, work, colleague, you just hit it off and it just feels like, oh, I've known this person forever. It's most likely a member of your soul family or a past life connection, like a past soulmate. So I don't think that we should just, I don't think we should write off the other soul connections because we're specifically looking for quote unquote twin flame.
Exactly. So, you know, I hope this was valuable. I mean, you know, we had a great time having this discussion and conversation. Again, we don't mean to trigger people. It's just, you know, we want to help people expand their mindsets a little bit. That's ultimately the goal.
Well, it's also ultimately to help you guys and not fall for all the distortion that unfortunately is saturated in the new age space. And
yes.
It's
too saturated.
Yep.
It makes
and
my
it's,
head
it's exactly what Tiara said. It is way too saturated. And it's disheartening and it's unfortunate. And we just want to reach and help as many people as possible because, I mean, I've overcome a lot and I've had to basically be Tiara's self-awareness to help her overcome some of the stuff she's going through right now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's been so immensely helpful. And I'm so grateful to Allie and her team for, you know, assisting and putting in that effort for me, even when I didn't fully think I deserved anything. So I will always be immensely grateful for that.
And I think the important message there is that the ego tells us whether or not we're worthy. And I think
it does.
No, it's not even I think. I know for a fact that people need to know that you are worthy. Everyone is worthy. Everyone was given a chance of life. Everyone was given a chance of life. And as long as you are alive, your past decisions and your past, it doesn't define who you are. And so many people, myself included, cling on to those past mistakes and those past regrets. And we put value judgments to them. And that's not who we are. And so many people get stuck in that. And it hinders people. And it stalls your growth. It stunts your growth. And the message that I want to leave this episode with is that we are all worthy and we are not defined by our past and our history. It's important to know it so we can learn from it, but it's not who we are.
I'm so glad you said that because you know, I've been saying that to myself and it might help to say that to yourself, that you are worthy just by your very being and existence.
And as long as you,
and I know that that takes some time to,
oh, of course,
but
as long as you are alive every day, every minute, every second of every day, you can choose to be better. You can choose to have something different. You can choose someone else. Mm-hmm. You can choose to stay, you can choose to go. You are the architect of your own life. And I think a lot of people forget that. You don't live for other people, you live for yourself.
That's beautiful.
So I just want to thank everyone for joining us today. And I hope everyone has a fantastic week.
Yes, and please do check us out. Check out our spiritual community as well. You get 7 days for free. We have a lot of channeled messages in there from some of these incredible high vibrational beings. And you can find it at www.goddessvibrationstudio.com. There's a direct link to take you into the community. And we look forward to seeing all of your faces.